Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Giant Take podcast. My name is Josh and I am joined by my friend and co-host Alex. First of all, hope everyone had a happy and merry Christmas yesterday. We're recording on Boxing Day, if you want to call it that in the UK, for anyone who celebrates that. Or I think it's also the first day of Kwanzaa. So for anyone who celebrates that as well, today's the first day of Kwanzaa. So happy, is it happy Kwanzaa to anyone who celebrates maybe? I'm going to have to double check that.
I do not know, which is really embarrassing.
Not caught up on all the holidays. Yeah, so it would be happy first day of Kwanzaa to all of those who celebrate. Happy Boxing Day to anyone who celebrates that. We're going through all the holidays here. Also, happy belated birthday to Alex's mom, because she's probably listening to this. So there you go. Oh, I'm a day late, but I got it in there. Did you say happy birthday to your own mother, Alex? I hope you did.
I did, yes, yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, good.
It was yesterday, so I'm not going to say it today, but I will say I did
well,
say
like
yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Oh, good. I forgot to text her. I didn't text her, but it's all right.
It's okay.
I hope she'll forgive me. And
I think she'll be all right.
Yeah. So what are we doing here? Not the Giants game yet. We'll get to that in a second. How is your Christmas? Mostly traveling all day on a plane, but besides that,
my Christmas mostly on the plane. Yeah, it was good, except for the fact that United Airlines, shout out to them, screwed up the cable, so I was unable to watch the Giants game during the game, and I was even willing to shell out the $10 for the Wi-Fi to watch the game, but then it said that streaming was not supported on the Wi-Fi on the aircraft that I was on. So what is that about, United Airlines?
Did we pay for the Wi-Fi?
About to pay. I had my credit card info in.
I see.
And then I realized it said on the bottom, like a little red alert, streaming is not supported on this aircraft. And I said, well, then what the hell am I buying the Wi-Fi for? And everyone else was complaining too.
Oh, good. Good, as they should.
Because there was other Giants fans on the plane. Obviously, we're flying to Newark, you know, and people are like, hey,
are you serious?
Giants fans.
Were there actually Giants fans like wanting to watch the game?
Yeah, people were like, oh, can
Holy
we watch
moly,
the game?
Wow.
Why can't we watch the game? And the people flight attendants are like, oh, it's not working. You know, you can't do it. And very, very upsetting. And then we also had, during that flight, the Ravens and 49ers game, which obviously is like this huge game that everyone's watching Monday Night Football, and couldn't watch that either. So shout out to United Airlines. Get your stuff fixed. Come on, guys. This is ridiculous. It's Christmas. Come on. Like, God. Very frustrating. Very frustrating. But besides that, I had a wonderful Christmas at the airport.
I love how we're shouting out United Airlines for their mistakes.
Shout out
United Airlines, guys. You guys messed up.
Yeah.
But what we can shout out is this New York Giants team. Boy, did I think going into halftime, Alex, that we were going to hop on these mics and talk about one play that separated this game from being a tie game and being an Eagles win. I did not expect that in a million years when this game is at halftime. And, I mean, you were texting that it's time to go to bed when you were about to go on the plane. You know, it's time to rest.
And
I was like, it's time to turn on the Lakers-Celtics game because this game's over. It's 17-3 at half. And was it? No, 20-3 at half.
20-3 because of the Okereke.
Yes. So did you end up seeing that? So I know your signal cut out right before you landed or right before you took off. And then I texted you because you were able to at least get text. And I was like, oh my God, Alex, I just saw the worst delay of game call in my entire life. And you go, let's go. Like, that's for us, right?
Eagles offense. And I'm like, okay, this is great. Fantastic.
And I'm like, you don't even understand what the frick just happened. I don't want to curse on this day after Christmas episode. We're spreading the holly jolly cheer here. But but I'm like, no, you don't even understand. Like, I'm so bad right now. Absolutely horrendous call. I know we're starting at a weird point, but for the referees to bail out the Eagles multiple times yesterday, also the PI call on Wandale Robinson on the sideline towards the end of the game, that was missed. I think that was the final drive. That should have been a PI call.
Other refs at the end having the Eagles money line and not letting the ball go and just standing there, and Saquon Barkley literally ripping it out of his hands. And Darren Waller just sitting there on the floor because he's hurt. But, like, come on, let's still go. Like, toss the ball to someone else at least.
Right.
Very frustrating. And
so it's like, the Wandale Robinson missed call because he's holding him. But back to the halftime delay of game. So the New York
when
Giants,
when has that been
right?
called ever? Sorry.
My frustration as well. So we have Jalen Hurts, right, scrambling out with 8 seconds left, no timeouts. He goes in. He's about to run out to the sideline, but he wants to get a couple extra yards, maybe get him for a touchdown. So he cuts with his right foot and then cuts left, right? So he cuts left, right? He cuts left, and then he's heading to his left side towards the end zone, does not get there. Clock is ticking 8, 7, 6, 5. So the ball, when he goes down, it slides. I'm just saying for anyone who, like, didn't see this play, it slides out from his hands towards his legs, and then it's like a looks like a loose possession to Bobby Okereke, who just came over to make the tackle. He didn't see Hurts, you know, get to the point of contact on the ground before losing the football. So he's just thinking, oh, wow, it's a free ball. Let me grab it. So he grabs it and obviously sits on top of it like we just recovered a fumble. But then the rest are like, no, you're delaying the game because now Hurts can't get the ball. So spike it. Can we call a delay of game on the ref at the end of the game for us not being able to get the ball?
There wasn't enough time to spike it either, by the way. Even if he did run and grab it or whatever it was going to be. Like, that wasn't happening anyway. And then Okereke, like, this happens every week and it's never, ever called. It's one of those things that, yeah, I guess technically it's a penalty. But since when has it been called? It's not called in the hugest of playoff games. It's not called in the fourth quarter of games. And it's called here. Like, come on, like, refs. And it was such, like, a ridiculous thing. And to be honest, O'Kare can't hold on to it for, what, maybe 2 seconds? Not even, it felt like. And, you know, we've seen players sit on top of the runner for, like, 5 seconds. And that's never called. Even against the Giants earlier this season, that happened to Saquon Barkley. If you remember, at the end of that one half, that you know, Saquon Barkley went for a quick run, got the first down. The Giants had plenty of time to spike it, but this guy sat right on top of him for about a good 5-6 seconds. They couldn't get the spike off, so no flag there. But of course, the Eagles bailed out, and very, very frustrating, like you said, Josh.
And obviously, Brian Daboll was frustrated about the calls, too, because he comes into the press comments after the game heated. You know, if you've seen that video from Talking Giants, Justin Penick made it. You know, he came in, slammed the door, or he's like, what do we got? Slammed the door, adjusted the mic, threw his, you know, notes down. And then he's like, Merry Christmas, by the way. That was a pretty
funny
clip. And
the JMS, also the JMS false start, which I don't even know how in the world it's a false start.
I forgot about that.
Totally forgot about that until you mentioned him getting mad. And I remember the clip of him getting really, really mad about that call specifically on the sidelines. So
yeah, he was mad for a while there too. They went to commercial break. They came back on Brian Daboll, who was still heated about that JMA, which is
it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It was completely legal. Like, come on. The head bob is legal. The head bob is legal. That's how he sets the snap. And ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So anyway, this game ends 33-25, by the way. I didn't include that earlier. I want to go to, Alex, first the headline, I would say, the big headline of this game, and then we'll go to our normal offense, defense, and special teams, which we normally don't include, but it's another week where I think we have to include it. All right, we'll start with the headline being Tyrod Taylor comes in for the wonder kid here in Tommy DeVito. At halftime, or after halftime, Tommy DeVito, we're thinking, is injured, and he didn't look right in the first half. Something must have happened. He was benched. Brian Daboll said it was best for the team, and he wanted to motivate the team by putting in Tyrod Taylor. And almost immediately, obviously not in the play where Boston Scott runs into his own teammate and the fumble happens, and then it's basically Tyrod Taylor with two throws and like a Saquon run for a touchdown within their own red zone where they started with the ball. It wasn't that drive. But almost immediately, it was indicated that Tyrod Taylor is a better quarterback than Tommy DeVito, which we knew all along, by the way. We started Tommy DeVito, I think, for the story maybe and also for motivation of the team, but all knowing how much better of a quarterback Tyrod Taylor is. And I texted Alex this, and I said, look at Tyrod Taylor. It was after the bomb, an absolute dime of a throw to Darius Slayton, by the way. He didn't even break his stride. I want to make that clear, too. That throw to Darius Slayton, he didn't even stop running. He was completely running. He didn't have to slow down for that ball. It was a great throw by Tyrod Taylor. This is what I texted Alex after that throw. I said, who would have known how many more games we would have won if Tyrod Taylor started? And I know it was only really one or two that Tommy DeVito lost in his tenure as a starting quarterback, and he had that three games in a row winning streak. I have no doubt in my mind, I think Tyrod Taylor could have won those same three games. And who would have known what would have happened last week against the Saints if Tyrod Taylor was starting at quarterback? Obviously, we can't go back in the past and change things, but right now, looking at it, Tyrod Taylor brought the Giants' life back into this game coming into the second half. This team had 3 points at halftime. They ended with 25. They scored 15 in the third. Sorry, that's what I was trying to find. They scored 7 in the fourth quarter. They scored a touchdown. That was the Darius Slayton touchdown. I know also the pick six has to do with that. I understand that. And that was a great job by, who was it? Adoree Jackson, yes, with the bobble pick six. For almost 80 yards. But I think Tyrod Taylor also had a lot to do with that. And I'm going to stop talking now, but Alex, get his thoughts in here.
I think we all knew Tyrod Taylor is the best. You know what? I'm actually not going to say that because I know Bobby Skinner from Talking Giants has been on this. You know, Tyrod Taylor is clearly better than Tommy DeVito train, and people in his comments flood in to defend Tommy Cutlets and say that he's better than Tyrod Taylor. So maybe it's not obvious for a lot of Giants fans, but I mean, I know for Josh and I, obviously for Bobby, Tyrod Taylor is a seasoned NFL veteran who is a low-end starting caliber quarterback. Tommy DeVito couldn't really even get it done at Syracuse, no offense, Josh. So there's a difference. There's a difference in caliber of QB play here. And Tommy DeVito, he's been great. He's been great for the story. The dad, the agent, it's been fantastic. Tommy Cutlets, you know how it is. But Tyrod Taylor is just better. He's a better passer. He's more accurate. He's more mobile. He senses pressure better. He reads defenses better. And that's just experience. Maybe 10 years from now, Tommy DeVito will be just as good as Tyrod Taylor. Who knows? But at this current moment, Tyrod Taylor gives you a better chance to win. Now, did Brian Daboll think that Tommy DeVito gave him a better chance to win? I can't seriously imagine that. But by this move of bringing him in at halftime, he must have thought that. So that's a little concerning from your head coach, unless he was just kind of riding the DeVito mania because whatever season was over, which I think is the most likely of the two options, that he kind of knew the season was over. DeVito is, you know, kind of bringing life into the team. Why not keep starting him even though he's not the better quarterback? I think that's pretty much the answer to our question based off of yesterday. And then once the DeVito vibes kind of went into the trash can, you know, Tyrod Taylor came in and, you know, kind of salvaged the day for the Giants. And yeah, I mean, Tyrod Taylor, he's not the best quarterback, but he is not far behind some of the lower end starting caliber quarterbacks in this league. He's not that far behind a Daniel Jones, for example. You know, I'm trying to think of another example, a Derek Carr, for example, on the Saints. So even a Baker Mayfield, who's having a fantastic season, by the way. So shout out to him, but not too far behind those types of quarterbacks. So, you know, he's a very good, you know, he's a very good backup option. He's much better than Tommy DeVito. And that's been obvious for a while. And that Darius Slayton bomb and the accuracy he put on that pretty much cements that for Tyrod Taylor in this offense. But I mean, Josh, I think besides that, we can transition right into the offense if you want to.
Yeah, so we'll go to Tyrod Taylor's stat line of 7 for 16, 133 yards, a touchdown, and one interception, which was obviously the last play of the game. Alex, that's another thing, too. Did you think that Saquon, quote-unquote, shove out of bounds was a PI call that was missed, defensive pass interference, or do you think they should kind of just let that ride? I am of the mindset that I think that wasn't a call. It's the last play of the game, unless it's really blatant. I think it was a flop out of bounds by Saquon Barkley to look for a call.
Yeah, was it cap? Like, I don't know. I kind of agree with you, Josh, to be completely honest. Yeah.
Tommy DeVito before the half went 9 for 16 for 55 yards. Saquon Barkley looked better. He did have a lot of rushes, though, or carries, 23 carries to be exact, and only 80 yards to show for it, which is, it's not as bad as last week's stat line, which was, I think, 9 rushes for 16 yards or something of that nature. It was pretty poor.
And that also includes a whole bunch of runs where he was just completely blown up in the backfield because of a O-line error. So, you know, loss of four, loss of five, whatever it may be. So that stat line looks worse than it actually was.
Did get a touchdown in this game, though, which was nice. And that was off of, like I said, the Boston Scott error. Boston Scott, the Eagles killer? What's going on? We're flipping the script here.
My anytime TD, I should have gone anytime TD caused by Boston Scott. Like, come on.
And with this loss, though, the Giants, I think, now go to, what, like 10 games or like something like that in a row where they've lost to the Eagles. Something absurd.
It's been a hot minute. I don't remember winning against the Eagles, to be completely honest. So
I don't remember the last time Darius Slayton took over a game either, which is what he did today with 3 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown, a very good route run by him as well, which we already touched on everything.
Pretty much cemented himself as the Giants' leading receiver again this year, which,
yep,
not enough credit for Darius Slayton, man. I know he's not cracking the 1,000-yard mark, but as an 800-ish yard receiver per season, he gets wildly disrespected by the Giants fans, you know, in terms of his quality, his impact on the team. And he's been forced in all these seasons to be going against number one corners. He's been going against number one corners his whole career, pretty much, because the Giants have not had any top-end receivers. So people don't take that into account either.
Not only that, Alex, but how many quarterbacks has thrown the ball to Darius Slayton? Let's also talk about that for a second. I mean, that's absurd. How many quarterbacks is that? It had to be at least 5, right? When did he start with the team?
It's 3 this season. So
3 this season. He was there for, I think, the Jake Fromm era, right?
Yeah, he was there for Jake Fromm. He was there for Colt McCoy. That's 5 right there.
Eli, no, right? Eli retired too.
No, there was a point where Eli, in his rookie season, Eli was still there, and he played a couple games, if you remember.
Obviously, Daniel Jones too.
So that's 6. I mean, at least 6, maybe 7, if there's another quarterback we're forgetting.
Like that came in for like a start.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, absolutely crazy, and the wild disrespect he gets. If he was a number 2 receiver, if we had a true alpha guy, he would be able to do so much more. He would be succeeding so much more. He's not a number 1 receiver, but
I got it.
As a solid 2, I mean, he's been fantastic for the Giants. And I feel like he's one of those players that is so wildly disrespected by this Giants team. And you don't even have to watch the game, which you really should, because he is very good. in game, with the eye test as well. But just look at his stat line. He leads the Giants every year in receiving since he's been here. Since he's been here, he's a fifth-round rookie. And now he's getting paid $6 million a year on a two-year team-friendly deal. A true Giant, I think, and doesn't get the respect he deserves.
So, Alex, like you said, he started with that year that Eli Manning left for, or Daniel Jones took over for Eli Manning. So two quarterbacks there. We had the Colt McCoy year for two times, so that's three quarterbacks. Then the Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm year, so that's six quarterbacks if I can count, right?
Five. Daniel Jones, Eli Manning,
Colt McCoy, Mike Glennon, Jake Fromm, six.
No, five. Yeah, five.
Davis Webb had one game where he played in for Daniel Jones in 2022. I don't even know if we really want to count
that.
That
was last game
still
of the season.
Yeah,
so six.
Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor.
Seven, eight. Yeah, eight QBs. Damn. Impressive,
isn't that
man.
Wild?
Wildly and then, disrespected. Definitely a Giants legend already in my mind.
I'm very interested, too, at what Brian Daboll has to say when it comes to if they ask about Tommy DeVito, because if you remember the last like couple weeks, he said right after the other games that Tommy DeVito's an immediate start. Like he said for this one, Tommy DeVito's earned the start against the Eagles, then benched him at halftime. So, like...
I mean, Tommy DeVito just wasn't... There were some open reads in that first half that he just wasn't making. Some simple processing things that it just felt like... It was like, come on, Tommy, like, you gotta get those, and... He just wasn't hitting those, and I think that was probably the kicker for Brian Daboll.
Daniel Bellinger got involved in action today. Four catches, 43 yards. Darren Waller, only two catches for 32 yards.
Darren Waller, great catch. I have to get involved. I'm sorry for interrupting, but Darren Waller has to do better. He has to do better. There was at least two throws. There was one that he's kind of in stride. I get the ball's a little bit behind him, but you are one of the highest paid tight ends in the league. You are the alpha receiver in this offense. If you can't adjust slightly to grab the ball while you're in stride, then you've got to do better. There was another one from Tyrod. I get it's a little bit low. It's not an easy catch to make, but we're paying you to make these difficult catches. He's got to make at least one of those two, and he's just not. And very, very frustrating from Darren Waller. I get he's still recovering from an injury, but he's got to do a lot better. And it was just very, very frustrating to see those drops.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, I was going to get to that. I think the one catch that he made obviously was pretty spectacular. What comes from that is him getting injured from a tackle to his back and then unable to really get up quickly to get the ball and spike it. We've already talked about that in the beginning of this episode. So with that being said, I mean, that's really this offense. And in this game, again, they did better than we expected. That's all we can really ask for. I mean, you go back to our score predictions. It was the Eagles scoring around this point, you know, of this point total of 33, 38, whatever it was, like in our score prediction, they end up scoring like 33. But we expected the Giants to maybe get a touchdown. And they got 25 points on the board. And credit of that, you know, part of that is to the offensive credit to, you know what I mean, credit to the offense. Although I do agree with you that Darren Waller, you know, needs to do better. And that's blatantly obvious. So with that being said, we're going to go to the defense right after this break. Stay tuned.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, back now to talk about this Giants defense that, even though they put up or gave up 33 points, they were still successful. One player specifically was Adoree Jackson, who had that amazing bobble pick six to give the Giants life in the second half, bring them back in this game. Along with that pick was two pass deflections that he had as well. And Bobby Okereke, the middle linebacker, led the team in tackles today with 10. Also, Xavier McKinney had 10, but I want to give credit to Bobby Okereke because 8 of those were solo tackles, a pass deflection as well. I think he made a few stops behind or right in front of the line of scrimmage to where either was running backs or wide receivers were, and he made some pretty nice tackles today. So two guys right off the bat that I want to give credit to. And yeah, that's what I would want to say for those guys.
Yeah, those guys were excellent, like you mentioned. Deontay Banks, I thought, had a pretty decent game up against A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown didn't have a huge game like he's been having pretty much almost every week for the Giants. And special shout-out to one guy who, you know, hasn't been great this season, but had a pretty good game against the Eagles. A'shaun Robinson, I thought he was really, really powerful on that inside, in that interior of that defensive line. He batted down one of Jalen Hurts' passes. When they were on our side of the field, he got some pressure in the passing game. He was pretty big in the run department as well. So shout out to him, especially with Dexter Lawrence on the pitch count. And I was impressed by A'shaun Robinson, so shout out to him. And that interior was definitely struggling when Dexter Lawrence wasn't on the field, and A'shaun Robinson definitely made up for some of that lack of explosion in the interior by Dexter Lawrence, who, you know, definitely wasn't as impactful, you know, in this game, but he still, just his, I don't want to say this, I hate using, well, I actually love using this word, but his aura was still there. His presence, I should say, was so impactful for the Eagles that they still had to double team him, triple team him, whatever it may be, and that opened it up for some of those other guys. But obviously he was on a pitch count. I have to imagine he played about 50% of the snaps, 60 maybe. You know, much less than his usual 80 to 90%, which is already crazy for a defensive lineman of his size.
Another player I'd like to give credit to that I forgot about was Isaiah Simmons, the Giants, you know, who the Giants traded for earlier before the season began, the regular season at least. And although he only really has a few tackles and a pass deflection on the stat sheet, there was numerous amount of times where he was almost this close to getting to Jalen Hurts and getting that sack. Or a running back getting a tackle for loss, like DeAndre Swift. And it was just unfortunate that he wasn't able to kind of complete those tackles, finish those tackles, because just of how elusive those guys are. And not a lot of people in the NFL are able to tackle them. But again, shout out to Isaiah Simmons. Someone, Alex, you were talking about who didn't see, or you weren't talking about this person. I don't know why I said that. Dexter Lawrence, by the way, you were right, had 51% of on the snap count. I wanted to mention that. But I was going to say more, someone who wasn't as impactful, like you were talking about with Dexter Lawrence in this game, Kayvon Thibodeau. Another game that Kayvon Thibodeau goes without a sack. And it's now been a few games in a row where Kayvon Thibodeau has not gotten a sack. Now, a majority of the games so far this season, he's gotten a sack. I think it's 7 or 8 games now that he's gotten a sack compared to 5 that he hasn't. So again, still a tremendous season for Tibbs, but I believe it was since the Patriots game, if I'm not mistaken, he has not gotten a sack. So what is going on with Kayvon Thibodeau? He just is not getting the same amount of pressure that he did earlier in the season. I guess you can maybe chalk it up to how good this Eagles offensive line is, but it's not like it's just been this week. It's been the last few weeks. So we'll see if the last couple weeks of the season he's able to kind of get back on his normal, you know, way of getting a few sacks on there, but we'll have to wait and see. Again, though, one more final shout-out before we go to special teams. Dory Jackson again. Back-to-back plays where it looked like there could have been a pick. The second one actually is an interception by Jackson, taken all the way back for the Giants' touchdown, right? I feel like when you think, maybe, like, is Dory Jackson going to be with his team next year? Like, is he still going to be that number one guy? Then he gets this pick six, and I feel like maybe this gives him a little bit more of a chance. When I do know, I think he's a free agent after this year, right?
Yeah, he is. And I'd say Dory Jackson, he's a low-end CB1, high-end CB2, and if Deontay Banks can, you know, kind of continue growing, and you could bring back Dory Jackson on the reasonably cheap, maybe it's worth bringing him back, but Dory Jackson has had a pretty bad season all together, I'd say, except for this game and a couple other moments throughout. So he's been very disappointing as someone who had a really, really, really good season last year. And it seems like with Deontay Banks coming in, I don't know if that affected it or it's just the general slouch of this Giants season as a whole. You know, Dory Jackson has just not been great. And That's been kind of disappointing, and I think it's important to see how he finishes off the season on whether or not you want to bring him back.
And just covering special teams for one, you know, quick moment, not a lot happened besides Mason Crosby running out there with number 21 for
what
some
is
reason.
A safety?
Knocking a field goal in from 52 yards, so not bad by him. Coming off the couch and knocking that one through. So we'll have to see what happens next week. Hopefully we don't have to go to our sixth kicker of the season.
I think next week, Destroying is going to be our kicker, if anyone
there
knows
you
him.
Go. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, YouTube star Destroying. Why not? Bring him in. What else at this point? And then Jamie Gillen had that one absolutely horrendous punt, like that didn't even travel more than 25 yards. Then it was indicated that he's still injured, but he's, you know, got the leg wrapped up, so it's all good. And then the rest of his punts were fine. So I don't know what's going on there with Jamie Gillen. And then we had one fumble by Gunnar Olszewski, but he picked it right back up, and luckily we were able to retain possession. So that was it from what I had notes-wise of the special teams.
And also that terrible return for Cubby where he got caught it on the 30 and took it all the way to our 10 in the beginning of the game. That was pretty bad from Thomas McGahee's unit, let's just say that, in terms of coverage.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? They give up a few returns, I know. Thomas McGahee, what, like...
You've just given up. You've given up on him, Josh?
We've complained about special teams all season, Alex. What's going to change now? I mean, hopefully...
Mason Crosby in number 21. You don't know. It's going to be different.
Rockin' Tiki Barber's number over
oh,
here.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
What are we doing, guys? We could get him a different number. Two or three wasn't available.
Come on. Two is not available because of Tyrod. But who has three?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Sterling Shepard has three. We couldn't get him number 7, 8. No, we couldn't have gotten him
obviously,
like 98.
With Daniel Jones.
I don't know. Come on.
Very interesting. But anyway, good for him, I guess. And we'll see if he's on the team next week. But for right now, again, the Giants lose 33-25. Comes down to the final play. Tyrod Taylor having a chance at the end zone, looking around, searching 5 seconds, 10 seconds, finding an option. No. Picked off by the Eagles. But again, credit to the New York Giants for at least keeping us with some hope.
We were
in
it
this
till
Christmas
the last play,
Day game.
So you can't ask for more than that, I feel like. You know?
You absolutely cannot, especially where we are. And for everyone who's been waiting until the 30-minute mark, we're talking about the draft, guys. Don't worry, because the Giants have a 76% chance, according to ESPN Analytics, that they will have a top 5 pick in this year's NFL draft. I know all of those draftees and all of those please tank tankathon refreshers on Google, Alex, were worried about the...
I am the opposite of that, by the way. Just, I know Josh is
joking
here, in case people
I'm
don't
joking.
Know.
Yes, so sorry, I lied about the statistics. Statistic, give me a second again. It's 73% to have the top 5 pick. Currently have the 5th pick in the NFL draft. So, I did say that if you're looking at the next few games, they are going to be losses. But after this game, I don't even know. If we're having Tyrod Taylor start again, it could be different against on New Year's Eve against the Rams, and then we play the Eagles again. Great. In 2 weeks on our last game, for our last game of the season, so... we'll have to wait and see there. But for right now, we thank you so much for listening and or watching to this episode of the Giant Take Podcast. Hit that subscribe button wherever you are watching or listening. Drop that like button on YouTube, and then hit that 5 stars for a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Social media platforms at the Giant Take Pod on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Alex, he's on Twitter at anorian23. I'm on Twitter at joshjolo29. And I'll send it back over to my co-host, Alex. What are we? Are we celebrating Boxing Day today? Like, what are we doing for Boxing
well,
Day?
I am. My Boxing.
What do you
day
do on
actually,
Boxing Day?
I have
do you
no
know what,
idea. You
like,
just like,
what is the? What is the? Let's see.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna make a really bad dad joke. You box.
Mm-hmm.
Is that funny? No. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Nice. Okay. Here's Wikipedia.
Okay.
A holiday celebrated after Christmas, occurring on the second day, though it is originated as a holiday to give people gifts in need. Oh, that's nice. Today, Boxing Day forms part of Christmas celebrations, many people choosing to take advantage of Boxing Day sales. Oh, so it's like the Black Friday
of to Thanksgiving
in the UK.
Yeah.
originated in the UK, is celebrated in several Commonwealth nations. The attached bank holiday or public holiday may take place on the 28th if necessary to ensure it falls on a weekday. Interesting. So in parts of Europe such as Spain, Czech Republic, Germany, Austria, Romania, Hungary, Netherlands, Italy, Poland, Slovakia, Croatia, Denmark, Finland. Wow, there's a lot of nations that celebrate this holiday. I did not know
that.
I
thought it was just a UK thing, actually.
That's what I thought, too, because obviously we have football matches on that day. So it's like, it symbolizes generosity as the affluent once boxed surplus items for the less fortunate. So there you go. It is, I mean.
Interesting, yeah.
Well, not boxing as in punching boxing, but boxing as in boxing up items. So maybe you'll be boxing up items today, Alex.
I do actually have to box up items because today's our today's our gift exchange since we're at the airport all day and on the plane all day yesterday. So we have our fake Christmas today.
All right. Well, you can go wrap it up now so you can celebrate that fake Christmas with your family.
I love that. Wrap up the episode so I can wrap up some boxes. There you go.
Oh,
so clean. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Hope you have, a great Boxing Day, I guess I should say now, since we were just talking about that. And we'll see you next time. Looking forward to the Rams. Peace.